Thank you very much. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. For Father, everything we do is in vain unless it be done for Thee. We have gathered this morning to praise You, to thank You, to love You. And now, Lord, to feed on Your Word. May this morning's feeding encourage us in right and godly living. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Do you know this verse by heart? I suspect you do. Shall we sing it? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know, this can be sung as a round. Oh, that puts the fear of the Lord in you, doesn't it, huh? I'm going to ask all of you who are under 50, if you will lead us, we're going to sing this twice through. If you will start, and then those of us who are over 50, I will lead you when we come in. But those 50 and under, are we ready? Rejoice in the Lord. Come on, old timers. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Okay, we kind of lost the 50 and under crowd. You disappeared on me. Oh my. Well, probably just preparing to celebrate another birthday. Your mind was on other things. Okay. Notice. Rejoice. What? In the Lord. You know, part of our difficulty in life is our joy is found too often in things. You get a pay raise, you rejoice. The car has trouble, needs to go to the shop, you're down. Red Sox win Friday night, You're up. Last night, you're down. We tend to go find our joy in circumstances. And circumstances, they vary. They go up and they go down. This says, rejoice in the Lord. Well, what do we know about the Lord? He changes not. It's always up in the Lord. If that's where you're finding, that's why Paul and Silas, having been beaten, put in the stocks, which are very uncomfortable, their backs bloodied, and at midnight, what are they doing? Singing praise to God. Why? Their joy was in the Lord, not in their circumstances. They found their joy in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we're going to talk about ways of the Lord that will help us in rejoicing. Drop down to verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. Do we have any worriers in this congregation? Some of you, I think, make your living worrying. Great worriers. This says, don't worry about things. Be anxious, be careful for nothing. Well, what am I to do when a problem comes along? Well, look, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. But something else this says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, I love that. With thanksgiving. Stop and think of how God has helped you in the past. When problems came up in the past, and how God helped and brought you through the storm. And if you thank him for that and other things that you think of where God brought you through, you stop and you thank him for all of that. And you know what that does? It encourages us to believe that the God who was faithful in the past will be faithful now. That he'll hear my prayer. That's why this with thanksgiving is so important. It encourages our present faith. The next time you catch yourself worrying, put a stop to it. How? By bringing your need before God, and thanking him for past help, for past blessings. Let your request be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. How do we get peace? By worrying? No. We sang how to get peace earlier this morning. Simply trusting. Trusting Jesus. You remember that? Trusting him, whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. We bring our need to the Lord, and we trust him. Like, that's a load off my mind. I've committed it to the Lord. Childlike faith. And when you can trust him, I've brought this to the Lord, I know he will guide and direct. I don't have to worry anymore. And when I don't worry, it brings me peace of mind. If we're worrying, we're not trusting. Did you realize that? If we are worrying, we are not trusting. They're opposites. You worry or you trust. The peace of God comes when we trust. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We're told what to think. Think on things that are true and honest, just and pure, lovely, virtuous. Focus, and notice those are all positive, aren't they? Focus on the positive. There are some people that are just so negative. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. No, we don't have to be negative. This world is coming into judgment. We know that. But praise God for the child of God, the one who has trusted Jesus as Savior. The child of God, our sins are forgiven. That's what we sang in Sunday school, right? I've never done this in a church before, but the comment was how much at home I feel here. Maybe that comment will be regretted, but... All of you who attended Sunday school this morning, would you say I? All of you who did not attend Sunday school this morning, would you please say I? Almost 50-50. Except the second eyes were a lot less enthusiastic. Did you notice? Did you notice? Oh, my. This idea of a round robin, who invited him here? Think on things that are positive. When I was a youngster, there was a pop song out. You got to accentuate the positive. Some of you, I'm sure, remember that. But that's good counsel. Would you rather spend 3 hours with a positive person or a negative person? 3 hours. How is it with you? Non-committal. I know what I would like. I'll take the positive person. And here, we're told to be positive, to think positively. And, you know, That's good mental health, to think positively. People who think positively, after surgery, they are going to recover faster than people who are full of negativity. Positive think. This chapter, now, you know, for example, the love chapter, where do we find that? 1 Corinthians 13. How about the resurrection chapter? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15. God's Hall of Faith. The faith chapter. Where? Hebrews 11. Sure. I have dubbed Philippians chapter 4 the mental health chapter. It gives such good counsel. Verses 6 and 7 told us how to keep from worrying. So, verse 8, we can be positive. You say, how can I be positive? Things often are negative. I have so many problems in my life. Well, I have an illustration I use of a seesaw. God is at one end of the seesaw. Your problem is at the other end. Whatever you focus on is going to get bigger and bigger. You focus on your problem, my problem is so big, and God is so little. I don't know how this is ever going to work out. On the other hand, focus on God. My God is so big, and my problem so puny, it's nothing for him. Which end of the seesaw do you focus on? Let's drop down to verse 10. Paul writes to this church, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." In Sunday school, which the enthusiastic 50% attended, in Sunday school, we talked about the Philippian church giving. They were a great church. They weren't wealthy, but they gave, and gave joyfully. They were the first church to support Paul in his missionary work. They had sent a gift by Epaphroditus, and Paul here makes note of that and thanking them. Verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, "I have learned to be content." And Paul's contentment was not based on how much he had. His contentment was in Christ. Content in Jesus. Now, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And we are told, chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." For he hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Note in verse 5, "Let your conversation, let your life be without covetousness." Be without covetousness. Now, do any of you have a TV set? It's a poor congregation. a few TV sets? Do you find all the poor folks in the church come over to your house to watch your TV? TV, one of the problems with TV are commercials, right? Well, some people like commercials. It gives them a chance to take care of the needs they have. And get back, they can time it so they miss the commercial. It's wonderful. But what the commercials try to do . They try to get you to buy their product, right? They try to make you think that their product is going to be the greatest thing since the round tire. Do you fall for those commercials? Do you believe them all? Kids tend to. You watch the Christmas commercials between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And a commercial will be on for some toy. The kids are playing with that toy and they're having the most wonderful time. And your kid comes out running. Mommy, I want this for Christmas. This is wonderful. I gotta have it. What they do not show is how that the fourth or third time the kids are playing with the toy, it breaks. They don't show that. The purpose of the commercial to get you to covet, what they are selling. Well, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. You never know how much stuff you have until you move. And then you say, why have I been keeping this? I haven't looked at this in must be 10, 15 years. But we keep on acquiring things, don't we? We keep on getting new things and we often hang on to the things we already have, so that we get more and more. You know, I am now in my 80s. That's why, instead of walking up here bravely on my own, why I decided to sit on the platform. Easier. In my 80s, it's probably wiser. In my 80s, I have had time to get a lot of stuff. And do you know what I am trying to do at this point? Is get rid of stuff. Instead of getting more, I'm getting rid of stuff. So that my son in Houston, Texas, wants to know at the appropriate time, of course, what to get Dad for Christmas. And Dad isn't very helpful. I don't need anything. I'm all set, thank you. He has decided to send in money to a tract company in my name. And that's his gift to me. That was his Father's Day gift to me. Well, that's good. I'd far rather have that than have more junk come my way. Learn to be content with what you have. Dig out some of those things that you haven't used or looked at in years. Dig it out and either enjoy it or find a home for it somewhere other than your home. Travel light. Do you ever have the problem? Well, I know I should read the Bible every day. I know I should pray every day. But life is so busy. I'm so busy. I don't have time for that a lot of times. Well, your busyness. Let's see. A few of the really wealthy people in this congregation have gone out and bought a TV. And what happens with the TV? You watch it, right? I mean, it's not there for an admiration party. You turn it on, you watch it. And computers. Haven't even asked about them. Computers. Computer games. Of course, now you can play them on your cell phones and so on. It's kind of a crazy world we live in. Play games on your telephone. I always used to talk to people on my telephone. But this is progress. Games, they may be fun, but you know what? They take up time, don't they? I don't have time for the Bible and prayer every day. I'm too busy watching TV and playing computer games. And a lot of other such things. Things can get in the way. I wonder if things have gotten in your way. Well, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, your life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Don't go out and buy everything you see on TV. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Christian already has the best gift. So a lot of these other gifts seem to just detract from the best gift. We need to focus on the Lord more and on things less. Do you believe that? Wait, I'm going to tune up my hearing aid. Anyone here believe that?
Yes.
Ooh, it's working good now. So you're going to go home and you're not going to let things get in the way, right? You think? It's hard for us to change, isn't it? It's hard for us to change. But we have the best gift of all, the Lord. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Our mental health chapter. And Paul said that he has learned to be content. And it doesn't matter if he has much or has little. He has learned to be content. His contentment is in the Lord, not in things. His joy is in the Lord, not in things, not in circumstances. I use the illustration of the seesaw. You know, you can use that illustration for most anything. Have God on one end, and whatever the thing is on the other end. If it's something that you desperately want, I just gotta have this. And you're focusing on it and focusing on it, and that seesaw is going, this is so important. God is, well, he won't mind if I get this. He's not very big anyway. Or we can look at this end. God is so important. This other thing, I really don't need. It's not that important. It depends which end of the seesaw you want to look at. Now, let's sum this up in verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And this belief governed Paul's behavior. The Lord is at hand. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord's coming is near, or do you think it's way, way off? I think every generation has felt that the Lord's coming is near. But I think this generation has more reason to believe that than others. For one thing, until I was 12 years old, there was no nation of Israel. God said there would be. And now there is. Keep your eyes upon Israel. North Korea? Yeah, it may pose a threat. ISIS? Yeah, it poses a threat. Keep your eyes upon Israel. That's where God is focused. And the fact that Israel, well, I preached a series of messages in late spring, early summer, on the nation of Israel. You remember hearing about the Yom Kippur War, 1973? And the Arabs attacked on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day in the Israeli calendar. And the Israelis had been warned by their secret service about this and all, but they didn't pay attention. 6 years earlier, they had won the war against the Arabs in 6 days, the 6 days war, 1967. Perhaps they felt we did it before and we can do it again. At any rate, they were not at all prepared. And the Arab nations came in. They had always found it very hard to come in, to gain any territory in Israel. But this time, it was like there was no resistance. And they went a day or two into Israel, and Moshe Dayan, the head of the military, went to Golda Meir and asked permission to take the A-bombs out of storage. And 13 A-bombs were loaded onto planes in 5 different airports, ready to be used. But then the war took a change, and Israel won the war, and the A-bombs went back into their silos. But we came that close to nuclear war. And several of those A-bombs were headed for Russia. If they had been sent. This world sits on a tinderbox. Anytime it could go up. Jesus coming, I believe, is very soon. And this is what Paul believed. And this was his motivation for a lot of things. And this should be our motivation. The nearness of the Lord, his coming. Well, if the Lord is coming, we certainly don't need a lot of the junk we have now, right? Yeah. Maybe it's time we try to unload some of that. And leave more time for the Lord. Let our focus be on the Lord, not on things. Paul's joy found in the Lord. Paul didn't worry too much because he committed things to the Lord. Paul was able to think positively because the Lord governed his thinking. Paul was content because he found his contentment in the Lord. Paul looked for the Lord to come. And so should we. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the things we have seen, the things that you have graciously brought to our attention. Help us, Lord, to have more time for you, less time for things. May we find our joy, our contentment, our peace of mind and heart in you. Just become the center of our lives, the center of our focus. And if this message can be used of you for any such change in any one life, I will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.